worthwhile to hear some of those things. The U.S. Center for World Mission magazine, which we subscribe to, get a couple of copies. There's always one copy out on the back table. And I'd encourage you to take a look at that. If you never have, I find it about the most helpful thing to just sum up very briefly what is going on in missions and to at least make you aware of the current events in that. This morning in the book of James, the Word of God comes to us. Did I get lost here? Come to James, that's it, huh? How do I, you get all the sound? Then I come to James and get it. Okay. Well, it'll come back on sooner or later. The Word of God comes to us this morning from James chapter 5, verse 13. And it's a very simple verse, a very simple message. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. At this point, James begins a section, thank you. James begins a section now on prayer for the next six verses as part of his conclusion. Do you remember in verses 7 to 11, he was speaking to us about patience, and he used the word patience seven times. Now he's speaking to us about prayer, and he'll use the word prayer seven times. He gave us three examples of patience. He gives us four examples of prayer, which adds up to seven. There's a little structural beauty in what James is doing there. He speaks in the four examples in verse 13 of a praying individual, verse 14 and 15 of praying elders, verse 16 of praying friends, and verse 17 and 18 of a praying prophet. We want to look this morning just at verse 13. And I want to consider James' directive to you in whatever your circumstance is, that you would be able to bring that circumstance to God. In times of pressure or pain, or as James says, trouble, or in times of pleasure, contentment, or as James says, when you're happy. And how we go so quickly from one to another, don't we? Every one of us here this morning is involved in this because every one of us has trouble and every one of us has things that make us happy and give us contentment. And we move so quickly from one back to the other. O. Henry, in his little classic, The Gift of the Magi, wrote, "Life is made up of sobs, sniffles, and smiles, with sniffles predominating." And we go back and forth from one to the other. I think of just a couple of Mondays ago. I look at my day and I started off frustrated by what seemed like an endless list of chores to be done. And then I was lifted up by successfully changing my transmission oil and filter and getting the job done and thinking that's out of my mind now, I can rest a little bit on that. To turn around and find that I had four, count them, four leaks around my house. And so having to then contend with the plumbing problems. And then moving from that discouragement the next morning to a tremendous time of rich prayer. And then right back down that afternoon to a frustrating conversation which I didn't feel like I honored the Lord as I should. And so we go back and forth. Our life is mountains and valleys, sunshine and clouds, pleasure and pain, one thing to another. It seems like there's just an endless change. And within that, we see just not only privately, but you just consider the last week, our own church life corporately. In one day, last Wednesday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we were able to finally obtain, after 2 years of prayer, a $500,000 piece of property for a facility for worship and ministry, debt-free. To be able to finally, without going anywhere outside the congregation, to be able to see God prove himself in Psalm 115:3, our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. And see our sovereign God give us so much joy and pleasure in the fact that he was able to answer those prayers and to use the gifts of his people after all this labor, after crying out to him that he would give it to us. God has given it to us. And we're able to rejoice in that. Amen? Amen. God has done it. Boy, we have to celebrate that. We'll celebrate it tonight. Celebrate coming over. And then just 6 hours later, we found out that Mark Plants choked to death on a piece of hot dog. And we saw the sovereignty of God demonstrated in tragedy when Mark was taken from us. You in trouble? James says, pray. Rejoicing? James says, sing songs of praise. And corporately and individually, I think this week, God has given to us a profound awareness of the truth of summing up our lives in just these two little statements. And I believe that James is showing us that these are the two things that can often tempt us away from God. And he wants to help us to live our lives with the awareness of the presence of God, whether it is he has given to us a property or taken a life from us. James is saying, live your life with the awareness of the presence of God. Because troubles can alienate us from God, can't they? We become anxious, we worry, we say, God doesn't really care, I've got to work this out on my own. In the same way, pleasure, happiness can take us from God. Because we become complacent. And we say, things are going well now, I don't need you right now, Lord, thank you. And so, in either case, James is saying we need to be drawn back to realize that we live in God's presence. I think what James is saying to us in verse 13 was beautifully summed up by a statement by Alec Motier, in which he said, our whole life should be so angled towards God that whatever strikes upon us, whether sorrow or joy, should be deflected upwards at once into His presence. Deflecting our circumstances to God, whether trouble or happiness, because we are children of the Heavenly Father. Because we belong to Him, we are profoundly aware that we are His, that we are His children, that we have access to Jesus. And therefore, in that realization, you and I can bring all our circumstances to Him. Let's look a little bit more closely now at the circumstances that James is describing to us. First of all, he says that we're to look to Jesus in times of pressure or pain. Times of pressure or pain. Now, what condition does James have in view? He says, is any one of you in trouble? Now, of course, he realizes that there's a lot of people in trouble. He's been writing about that. And so it's kind of, you know, well, whoever is. But is any of you in trouble? The word trouble that he uses there is a word which refers to any ill circumstance that's hard for us to bear. It's the same word that he used back in verse 10. You remember where he said, take an example of patience in the face of suffering the prophets. The word suffering there is the same word for trouble in verse 13. And so it's anything which is hard for us to bear, any kind of suffering or trouble. It refers to all kinds of trouble. And all of us here represent different kinds of trouble that we're feeling in our lives right now, don't we? Just to review some of the various kinds of troubles that you and I encounter in our lives. First of all, there's the natural troubles that we experience. The Romans 8 groaning of the creation that is an abnormal state, waiting for the redemption, the coming of Jesus to set things right. Whether it's the fact that you had to burn tent caterpillars out of your trees this spring, or you're a farmer suffering terrible drought in the Midwest. The natural troubles that come upon us that we seem so helpless to be able to do anything about. James says, you're in trouble? Pray. Or there's the physical troubles. The troubles of our frail bodies. Our eyes going bad. Our ears. Our muscles, various parts of our body, teeth needing to be drilled and replaced and on and on and on. Deterioration, disease, decay, and finally death. And again, so painfully reminded of that reality by Mark Plance's death this past week. And then there's the mental and the emotional troubles that you and I experience. The pressures of the fast-paced life of Baltimore, D.C., in a very complex society. I mean, you ever stop to think how complex our society is and how much pressure and trouble it brings to us? We're so glad to have all these conveniences, but then they add so much complexity to our life. I mean, I have a camera. It runs on a battery, of course. And the battery finally went dead. It took me 3 stores just to find a battery with the right code number that was going to fit into the camera, you know? And so we have all these complexities. You know, my plumbing. You know, I finally, after the 4th leak, I thought, how far can this thing go? I counted up. I have 18 possible places that could leak in my house. Faucets, connections, you know. 18 of them could go. No wonder I've got leaks all over the place. You know, I mean, I mean, I think I got troubles, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's not leaking. I mean, you know, there's so many things that could go wrong in our lives. You know, you get a microwave oven. The microwave oven goes on the blink. You know, we take the microwave, $120 to fix it. Well, trash the microwave oven. You know, what do you do? All these things, constant decisions, things we have to work through. And the pressure builds. You have trouble? James says, pray. And then there's the relational troubles. I mean, that's not even talking about our relationships with other people. But there's the anger that we feel toward people in relationships, the misunderstanding that we feel, the hurt that we feel about how others have treated us, and all the troubles that come from interpersonal relationships with spouse, with parents, with children, with bosses, with colleagues at work, with neighbors whose dogs bark at night, or whatever else it is, and on and on and on it goes. James says, do you have trouble? Start by praying. And then there's the spiritual troubles. Clearly James has this in mind because that word is used four times in the rest of the New Testament. In every one of those cases outside of James, it refers to persecution, to hardship for the gospel. Where Paul says, stand with me and endure hardship for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Misunderstanding, and because you're a Christian, because of your identification of Jesus Christ and the value system that he represents in your life. Do you identify with any of these things? I mean, surely that's got to cover somebody, you know. You look at those things and you say, yeah, I can think of troubles in every area. I have trouble. But the question is, are you taking it to the Lord in prayer? Are you following James' counsel? Because his counsel is very clear. What is his counsel? Pray. Very, very simple. No big surprise. It's so simple. Are you in trouble? He should pray. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Very simple, and the interesting thing about this is it's that one counsel for all kinds of troubles. He doesn't say you do one thing for one kind of trouble and something else for another. Whatever else you do, James says, pray. Pray. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Sang that at the memorial service for Mark Plants yesterday, and how meaningful to realize the truth of those words that Jesus hears and he answers our prayer. And I don't know about you, but as I meditated on this, I found that there was in it both a call to repentance as well as a word of comfort. I find in that a call to repentance because it says that when I am frustrated, when I am impatient and I am irritated because I don't have a handle on things, and I tend to lash out at the kids or I lash out at Kathy in my impatience, then I need to remember James' directive. You know, that plumbing? I was working on that thing on and everything was going wrong with it. Things went wrong with it. I had never had problems go wrong in all the years I lived in houses. You know, shut off valve, bonnet packings and everything else going wrong with that thing. And I started getting irritated and the kids would say something and I'd snap at them. And I realized that I was doing that because I was feeling like I was abandoned. I was all alone. I had to take care of myself. Dick has talked to us this morning about the fact that we are sons of God. And if being a son of God means anything, it means that God is with me. I am not abandoned. I don't have to work it out on my own. I can bring it before him, and I can know that he is for me, that he is neither absent nor is he uncaring about my problem. I can bring it to him. James says, are you in trouble? Pray. Why? Because there is a God who hears. As he had said earlier, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Because you're his son, and he cannot abandon you. And so the word of comfort in that, of course, is that as Hebrews 4 says, I can come to the throne of grace and I can find mercy to help, grace to help in time of my need. That as Luke 11 says, that I can come as a son and I can know that the Father has said that even if Dean comes to me, my son, and says, Dad, give me some bread, I'm not going to give him a stone. And so my Heavenly Father will not give me a stone when I come to him for bread. Now I saw that just in simple ways in my own life in just the past couple of weeks. I was struck by this when I thought about the fact that 4 weeks ago, I was under tremendous pressure to finish a course a course for Chesapeake Seminary that I'll be teaching this fall. And that course has been hanging over me, and it's just been so much more than I thought it would be, and I felt I had to get this thing done. I had to get it out of the way, and I asked God that He would give me 2 weeks of relative peace to concentrate on that, to be able to get it done and have it finished. And I was amazed, and you can ask Pat and Ree, those couple weeks, particularly that last week that I was intensely working on it, we had very few interruptions. It was just as if God put a protection there. And I know, you know, Pat and Ree are pretty good guards at the door there, and they really help, you know. And I really appreciate that at times when I really need it. You know, you may not appreciate it at all times when I got to call you back and all that. But God really protected us from very little that we even had to do of that. And I said, then, Lord, I can be able to be available to people. And then the very week after I finished that course, 2 weeks ago, all kinds of needs began to come through the door. And I thought, if I was last week where I am now, I wouldn't have had a hope of doing this. And it was just as if God protected and enabled me to get that and then said, okay, now you can turn your attention to these other needs. And then, of course, all this week with Mark Plants and the situation of that. And God has, I've seen God, and I've seen Him do this so many times in my schedule. In fact, it's gotten to the point where if I don't have a full schedule, I get nervous because I know God's got something unplanned there. Because I know, I'm convinced by this point, that God does not like clear desks. And so whenever you think you're going to get to that point, you know something else is going to come. But He'll take care of it. Even just Friday, after the couple of days of all kinds of things going on concerning Mark and the situation with the Plantses and Terry and all the rest, I was coming to the Friday afternoon, and the message for a couple of weeks from now, I should get the worship leader guide out so that person knows what it's going to be about. And I've been laboring on this the weeks before, and I really didn't have a handle on it. And I thought, well, Lord, I only got a half hour now. All I can do is sit down and see if I can get any thoughts from this. And I sat down after all that time taken, and God gave to me the outline, the message, the thoughts for that quicker than I had had for weeks. I was writing as fast as the ideas were coming as fast as I could write down. And it was just such a sweet personal sense of God saying, okay, you've taken time for this, I'm going to restore it to you in this. And there's such a sense that we are in functioning as partners with a living God, you know, when we live in the awareness of His presence. When you have trouble, you're not on your own. Pray, James says. Take it to the Father. He hears. Jesus has died for you. He's given His life to bear your sin. Do you think He doesn't care about your daily schedules and the pressures and the afflictions and the suffering that you go through? I can tell you personally, just from my own sense of the sweetness of God in my life recently and in other experiences in the past and experiences that you could recount too, and maybe tonight as we have some sharing at the Lord's Supper, you'll be able to recount some of the experiences in your own life that God hears and answers prayer when we're in trouble. But then the other side of that, let me just ask you finally, before going on to that second thing, think back in your own situation this week. What are situations that you've been anxious about, fretting about, instead of taking to the Lord in expectant prayer, believing that He really will hear you and that He will care for your needs and that He will answer because you belong to Jesus Christ? Now, if you don't belong to Jesus Christ by faith and have Him as your own Savior and Lord, that's your most primary need beyond anything else to get into that right relationship with the living God through coming to Jesus Christ and asking Him to take from you your sin and your guilt, and that you would be restored into that relationship, becoming a son of His, daughter of His, so that you can come into that position of laying before Him all of your needs. But He will hear you when you call on Him. The other side of this, though, James gives us, and that is, he says, is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. What's the condition that's in view here? Happiness. Feeling good. Feeling content. The word refers to a general sense of well-being, an internal sense of well-being, generally experienced by us when things are going well. But the word doesn't necessarily refer to when circumstances are going well. It simply refers to the fact that our hearts are at rest and at peace. Now, James says, what's the counsel he gives? When you're happy, praise. More specifically, he says, sing songs of praise. Express your joy to the Lord. God created us to have and to express joy. I think sometimes as Christians, we can fall into the idea that God has created us for duty. He's created us to be busy. He's created us to be productive. And we forget that God has created us for joy. I was reminded of that in a kind of an off-the-wall way when recently I was reading about a game warden who works in Vermont, blessed Vermont. Up there in the fall season, he was out there in the woods, and he noticed a bear, a young bear. And this bear was shuffling all around and getting leaves, and he pushed them into this big pile, you know, and he'd roll around, he'd get the leaves all pushed up there together. Then the bear climbed up a tree and jumped off a limb right into the pile of leaves. He got out and he shuffled them all back together again, you know, rolling around, climbed up the tree and jumped back into the leaves again. And the warden said he just watched them on and on and on, and he had rarely seen an animal showing such delight and sheer fun. And that reminds me, you know, God created us to have fun. God created us to have and to express joy. James doesn't say, you know, if you're in trouble, then pray, and if you're happy, what's the matter with you? Get back to work, you know? He says, if you're happy, sing songs of praise. Express your joy to the Lord. He's created us to be able, as His children, to say, God has answered. He's delivered me. He's given me peace and contentment. He's given me joy to express. Now, why is it that James says to do it like this? Why does he say, sing songs of praise? Well, we're really not told in the text. But by comparing Scripture with Scripture, I think I can come up with three reasons, at least, that I think James has in mind as to why we should do this. The first is because praise keeps me from pride and forgetting my God. When I'm happy, rather than just becoming complacent and becoming independent, singing songs of praise to God keeps me from that pride, puts things in right perspective, and helps me to remember that it is my God who has given me my joy. You remember in Deuteronomy 6 and 8, God says to Israel, just as they're going into the land, He says, one concern I have with you. The book of Deuteronomy has one word appears again and again and again and again. It's the word remember. And God says, particularly in Deuteronomy 6 and 8, He says, the one thing I concern about as you get into this land is you're going to forget who gave you all these good things. You're going to forget who has given to you these lush crops and these lovely landscapes. You're going to forget who has given to you this bounty of milk and honey and all the good things you have, and you will then forget me. And in forgetting me, you will lose your contentment. Do you remember that there were 10 lepers that Jesus healed, but only one came back to thank Him? And Jesus said to that one leper that his thanksgiving was an expression of saving faith leading to joy. When you and I forget to thank and to praise God for answered prayer, we lose our joy. Have you ever prayed for something for months and months and months, and then you've seen God finally bring about the answer, and sometimes the answer doesn't come just in one day. It comes over a period of days or weeks. But you see God answering that prayer, and after God has answered it, you feel tremendous relief from the pressure. And what happens? You say, well, that wasn't so bad. I'm out of it. But there's such a tendency to not connect that relief to the prayers you were praying. Isn't that amazing? While you were in it, you were praying for week after week, Lord, deliver me from this. Lord, please answer, hear me. And then when you're relieved, how quickly we forget to say, God, thank you. I see that that relief was in direct answer to my prayer. It didn't just work out. And by doing that, we lose the strengthening of our faith because we haven't made the connection. And so James saying, if you're happy, sing songs of praise. It strengthens your faith. Praise strengthens our faith. It increases our joy. It roots our contentment in Jesus Christ and deepens that contentment. Who among us is still so foolish as to think that our happiness depends on our circumstances? It depends on our relationship with Jesus. The peace that we have with Him, doesn't it? And when we sing songs of praise, we cement that. We continue to reinforce that. I believe a second reason that James says this, sing songs of praise, is that there's something special about singing to the Lord. Now, it's interesting. He didn't just say, let him praise God. He didn't just say, let him thank God. He says, let him sing songs of praise. And the word there, sing songs, is the word from which we get our word psalm. Let him psalm praise. Let him sing psalms, sing songs, spiritual songs of worship and praise to God. Why? Because I believe that singing in a unique way lifts my heart and fully engages me in my praise. More than speaking praise, more than thinking praise, singing praise engages me fully in the act of praise. Colossians 3:16, where Paul said that when the word of Christ dwells in you richly, you will as a result sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. That's in the context of what he has said in the first couple verses, where he says, let your minds be rooted on the things that you have above. Wrap your minds around is a way you could translate that. Wrap your minds around the things you have above, where you're seated with Christ, not on things on the earth. And you see, when you and I think about Jesus and we begin to meditate on him, that does something for us. But then I'll tell you, it does something altogether different if you take a hymn book and you just begin to sing and read a hymn and personalize it to Jesus Christ. I try always to keep a hymn book handy. I have one in the car, I have one at home, I have one at my office, because I find that when I am in worship, I am having a quiet time, I'm trying to worship, praise God, I'm trying to get my mind in gear, few things will help me more than to take some rich hymn that's got content to it of worship and praise to Jesus Christ, and for me to just read through that hymn and to personalize it, to change the pronouns from the we's and the they and the he and all that, to I, me, you, Lord. What a friend I have in Jesus. All my sins and griefs to bear. Lord, what a privilege it is to carry everything to you in prayer. And to personalize that hymn so that you feel that that hymn expresses your praise. Singing a song of praise to Jesus Christ does something for you that simply thinking and speaking it will never fully do. I would suggest if no other practical, specific application comes from this, if you went out and made sure you bought a hymn book and had that hymn book handy for you to simply sing songs of praise to Jesus Christ, it would do an awful lot for your walk with him. And it would lift up the dry times of summer that many people go through, because in the change of schedule, often the praise gets left out. Sing songs of praise. Finally, what's the third thing? I would say the third reason that James says this is that singing songs of praise is implied there, of course, that we're singing them to God, and that he therefore is hearing our praise. And when our eternal God, Creator and Redeemer, the one who is our Heavenly Father, has answered and taken care of us, and he hears us as his children singing songs of praise to him, it gives him pleasure. Now, I would suggest to you, if there was nothing else involved in it, it did nothing else for us, that that one reason is the most important reason of all. God has done so much for us. God is so good. He's so good to me. And he deserves, as Psalm 96 says, the praise that is due to his name. He deserves to receive that pleasure as a living, personal being, to hear your praise and my praise. And you know the amazing thing is that the reason that gives him pleasure is because you matter to him. I mean, if you didn't matter to him, what would he care if you praised him or didn't praise him? But the fact is, he has made you of infinite worth to him. And therefore, your praise gives him infinite pleasure. We'll have the opportunity to do that tonight as a body together. We'll have the opportunity to recount how God has answered prayers, to sing songs of praise to him, to remember his death, and then to bring before him our needs. Now let's practice living in the way that we deflect our circumstances day by day this week to the living God in prayer and in praise. Let's pray. Lord, hear us. We want to live in a keener awareness this week of your presence. Help us, Lord, to deflect our circumstances into your presence, whether in prayer for trouble, or in singing our hearts out in praise to you, our great God. Hear us in Jesus' name. Amen.